Hello, friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Health After 30 podcast. I'm Alana Bonneman, and today's episode is all about helping our kids and perhaps also helping ourselves develop a healthy relationship with food and our bodies. And who better to help us guide us through all of this than the incredible Jennifer Anderson? Jennifer's a registered dietitian, but you probably better know her as Jennifer, the powerhouse behind Kids Eat in Color, which is a platform that helps parents navigate nutrition with kids. With over 1.9 million followers on Instagram and countless families help, Jennifer is a wealth of information, and while she'll claim she doesn't have all the answers, this episode is an insightful conversation, and she really teaches us what we need to do and where we can start to approach our relationship with food and ourselves, even when the odds are stacked against us. This episode is really a fun chat between Jennifer and I truly hope you enjoy listening to it. If you haven't yet read or left a review, please feel free to do so. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being interested in yourself and interested in your health. I'm Alana Bonneman, and let's get into today's episode. Hi, Jennifer, and welcome to the Health After 30 podcast.
Thank you so much.
You're here.
Thank you for having me.
So the reason that I wanted to get you on the podcast is because, you know, you help parents feed kids. And what I find with working with a lot of adults is not many people know how to feed themselves, just in general.
Yeah.
What's going on here? Can you tell me a bit about that?
Sure. I think it's hard, you know. First of all, it's complicated. It takes effort and brain space, and we're inundated, you know, here in the United States with just enormous amounts of food marketing. And, you know, as a parent of big kids, there are so many things. The number of things, just so many things. So for me to then think, oh, now I need to feed myself really well. There are times in my life where I haven't had that capacity, yeah, you know?
Time, space.
I mean, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich is the best I could do, which actually is fine. But if I'm thinking about, hey, I actually need some more veggies or whatever, that can be really hard to fit in.
And was that hard? Like, did you struggle with that before you had kids? I mean, yeah. Is that something you struggled with before you had kids?
I was doing a lot before we had kids. I was in grad school. My husband was in grad school. We did so much
student life,
you know. So there was always a lot, but it was less complicated, right? Mm-hmm. It was me and school, and not, you know, maybe some social things outside of that. But it just wasn't as complicated. So it was kind of easier to bring together. And my husband and I had these little systems that we did. And, you know, it was as healthy as we were willing to, you know, put the time into at that point.
Yeah. And then when we have children, I mean, yeah, as you said, like all the things that kind of come into it, as well as being a parent on the side and trying to nourish your kid and trying to feed your kid as well, like it's all very overwhelming, you know, let's say.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think when we're trying to feed kids and not knowing how to feed ourselves, like where does it all slip up then? Because we want to kind of be the nutritional gatekeepers for our kids.
Right.
But if we don't know it ourselves, like how do we kind of navigate around that?
Yeah. I mean, for me, obviously I'm a dietitian, so I know a lot. I know what makes a balanced diet. It's easier for me to put that together than it is for a person who's a teacher or a, you know, works in an office or whatever. Like, nutrition isn't their thing.
It's not at their foremind. Yeah. Like,
yeah. It's at their training. So I think it's been a little bit easier for me in that sense. But the overwhelm of having kids was just, and being a working mom and having my husband full-time in graduate school, it was a lot. It was a lot. And there was plenty of eras in our lives where nutrition just was not the priority. It was like, how can we keep people full? And when my first son went into first grade, you know, I was going to have to send a lunch with him and also two snacks. And I was trying to start Kids Eat in Color because I had realized my full-time hobby and my full-time job were just not going to work anymore. And I needed to do one or the other. So I had like two jobs and two kids and, you know, all this stuff. And I, for myself, I was like, I don't have any more brain space for how to feed my family. And what I did is I created a meal plan for myself. I was like, here's what we're going to eat. Here's how we're going to make the system so I don't have to think about it anymore. Here's how I can make it so I can organize what my family's going to eat for the next week in like 15 or 20 minutes as opposed to, you know, over an hour.
Or every single day at every dinner time. Oh, what's for dinner?
What's for dinner? Or like, what am I going to feed them for the week? Or what do I need to buy this? I mean, it's so much. It was taking me so much time. So I was like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. This is the plan. And I included like, here's the vegetables that we're going to eat and here's the, all the things. Right. And then I put that together. And then my audience was like, hey, we want that too. So I actually made it into a real thing and I actually added photographs and, you know, all that stuff. And that became what's now called Real Easy Weekdays, but it was truly a survival system for myself.
For yourself.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it was. We still use it. We use it
that's so
always.
Good. Yeah. That's
for
so good.
And, you know, we've made a few little tweaks over the years, but not that many because I don't have the space. And it also enabled my husband to then help out and step in like during the pandemic. During the pandemic. Oh my gosh.
Let me cough with you. I got it too.
Wow. I gotta say, that's actually never happened on a podcast before.
So good.
So my husband during the pandemic was actually able to step in, because that's the other thing. Maybe one partner can do the meal planning, but then the other
into
person
it. Yeah.
Can't. Yeah. And then you're stuck with everything. So I think it's hard. I think it's hard. There's just so much time and effort that life requires. And in kind of this modern society, so much is asked.
Totally. And if it's not your thing and it's not your interest and it really gets put in the back burner, but it kind of has to be something that needs to be a priority.
Right. And you know that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know that. But like even we moved in 2021 and it just wasted my brain. Like completely wasted it. And we were just like eating whatever we could and vegetables fell off. Cause that's like another thing, right? Vegetables fell off the radar. So many things changed and it's only now, you know, like 2 years into, then we moved again a year later. It's only really now, like as of the fall that I've really been like, okay, I kind of have a little bit of a hand on my life. And we start introducing those things again and kind of bringing our previous diet back to where it was. But then I also have to reteach my kids how to like vegetables because they, you know, there was plenty of them that they actually forgot how to like.
Let's start again. And I mean, one of the reasons, as I said as well, why I wanted to get you on to the podcast is because feeding kids is one thing. And I did a bit of research on your story and you were saying that one of your sons was under the, what do you call it? Like under the average when he came in, when he was younger. And it's funny because my son's also that. He is the smallest in his kindergarten group and it's kind of going to segue on what we want to talk about today, which is how to talk to children about their bodies, their weight, you know, and health. And with my little Oscar, you know, he kind of said to me one day, I'm the smallest in my kindergarten group. And I answered, I was like, does that bother you? He was like, yep, actually, yes. And I was like, oh, and I, you know, and as a mom, you're kind of like, it's okay. Everyone's different, you know? And I get emotional actually even thinking about it, talking about it, but I didn't know what to say. And I'm like, do I say nothing? Do I say something? How do we, I didn't know. That was kind of it. That's
it's so hard.
It's so hard.
I'm talking about my kids' size, but you know, they are the smallest kids and it's hard for them. And they said, we're the smallest kids and kids make fun of us. And, you know, all that. And telling a kid, oh, kids come in all shapes and sizes is important, right? Like, absolutely. We talk about that all the time. But in that moment, it doesn't matter because, you know, kids are going to be mean to your child just because of their height.
Yeah.
And it's going to happen forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
My husband is of shorter stature and he's kind of overcome it. And it's not really a thing for him. I mean, not overcome the stature, but overcome it being a thing for him. Mm-hmm. But I mean, even in life, there's so much heights, like, prejudice out there. The taller person is more likely to get the job. Like, there's like so many things, right? And so this stuff is real and they know it's in a lot of ways not okay. And at the same time, it has to be okay because that's how it is.
And this translates also not just for height, also for size. I mean, we can, you know, it translates for so many things, but when we're talking about a kid's weight and health and size, there are these prejudices, and you can't protect, you know, even though you want to, you can't protect your kids from the outside world. So what can we do to kind of prepare our kids and also for any adults who are also listening, like prepare and protect ourselves as well?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's so hard. You know, one thing that I have found beneficial about my kids, you know, being, you know, stigmatized for their height. And they're even less stigmatized than many other kids. Is they get it when I say people don't like to have their bodies discussed. Like, they don't want people talking about their height for the most part. And they get it. Like, people, I mean, do you want people calling you short? No.
Yeah.
And other people don't want to have their bodies discussed. So they really get that. And I think we have to kind of help our kids who don't really have any kind of like out of the typical range features. You know, we have to help them understand that nobody likes to have their body talked about. Like, whenever somebody talks about my body, unless it's like my hair, which I find amusing, right? Unless it's like my hair or something like that, I don't want people talking about my body. Like, you know,
it's not necessary.
It's not necessary,
but it's such a thing. You know, you look at magazines and it's just, I feel like on, what are they, tabloid magazines? It's just covered. That's all it's about.
Right.
And who looks good in a, everywhere.
I went to a dinner with a bunch of adults. And I have been so shocked whenever I'm with this group of people, but really whenever I'm with pretty much any group of women, especially, everybody talks about their diet. It's like expected that you would be talking about your diet and your, not even just your health, but like, here's how much weight I lost, here's how much weight I'm trying to lose. And if you're not talking about that, it's like, either it's assumed that you're healthy, quote, or it's kind of like, you probably should be on a diet. I'm like, I never participate.
Do you actively say, let's not talk about this? Or?
I don't.
Yeah.
There's not kids around. And I feel like, hey, if you want to talk about your body and what you're perceiving as your successes, I want to celebrate you as a person. This is a really big deal to you. And I don't feel like it affects me in a way that is going to change the way I see myself. And there might be other times where that changes. And I might say, for the sake of myself, hey, let's talk about something else. But in general, I don't mind that they're talking about it. I just observe that it's like an amazing obsession and it takes up a lot of the conversation.
Yeah. And one that you're not really participating in as well.
Yeah. For me, as like what I do, I find it very intriguing.
Yeah.
At the same time, I am happy to talk about my health. I'm interested in my health. Health has always been interesting to me. And as part of that, weight may play a role in that, but generally not. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of an example where I might, and nothing comes to mind. But I love to talk about health, and I feel like that's how we connect with people, because health is such a big thing, and there's always a health challenge, or somebody has a health challenge, or somebody's relative has a health challenge. There's so much to talk about.
What you can do to kind of alleviate that, because once it's alleviated,
you love the orthotics. Tell me about it. I think I need those. Or like, I think we need those conversations, but so often they stray away from that weight, or they stray away from the health, and they just focus on what's your shape.
And so, I mean, I guess that's a conversation that we can't really change. So when we take it back to kids at the table, and they are of any size, because parents also have concerns, whether they're short, or they're eating too much maybe, or eating not enough, or they're bigger than the other kids, or smaller than the other kids, or they're not active enough. How do I bring that to the table when we are at the table and you're kind of thinking, my kid should, well, in my head, and also from a nutritionist, naturopath background, I'm like, okay, like protein and carbohydrates. And, I've got like all of the little bits put together, and I'm just thinking to myself, okay, I don't want to say, I try not to say anything, but at the same time, I feel like I need to say something. What's the perfect scenario that would happen at a table?
So I think the perfect scenario is that as the parent, you're really coming to the table and you've provided a balanced meal of some sort for the most part. But let's say it's ideal, right? We're talking about the ideal. We're coming, there's a balanced meal. It's got some protein options. It's got some vegetables. It's got some, whatever the produce or whatever your family's eating. It's got it all there. And you've offered that to your family. And then you, as well as your children, are kind of tuning in a little bit and thinking and just aware of like, how hungry am I? How full am I? What looks good to me today? What doesn't? And we're eating according to those cues. I think, and I just had a parent ask me this today, like, is it ever okay to force them to eat for a health reason? And I think that's true. I have I know somebody who has a child who has type 1 diabetes, and they've had to wake their child up in the middle of the night and force feed them jelly beans to keep him alive.
Like,
it's not a joke, and they're not ruining his relationship with food. They are, in fact, making it better because without that food, his life will be in danger. We have to keep in mind there's always nuance here. In general, though, and coming from a parent who had a kid, pretty much fall off the growth chart, like flatline on that growth chart, I understand the angst that comes with seeing a kid who's maybe not eating what they need. And so as a parent, you're kind of making available the options that you think will meet their health needs. Yeah. And this can be really hard, especially when they're not eating what they need to be. And then you're tweaking more and more, what are you offering? So if a kid isn't eating enough protein, which is not that common, but let's say they aren't, then you're offering mostly protein foods or whatever that is. I mean, it's tricky, but I think when we tell a kid and we're hoping that they're going to make health focused decisions on what they're eating
based on what you're
no answer is no.
I understand what you're saying, Mom, and I will comply.
No, I know there are some kids with that, and often those are the kids that you have to be most aware of their relationship with food and their body, because if they're obsessed with health, it is likely that there's something going on that may not be healthy, right? I know a kid who is very aware of not eating too much candy, and if you look at her family history, she has a family history of eating disorders. She is already concerned about her weight. She's already come home saying, I'm fat and I need to lose weight, saying fat in a negative way. You're like, okay, this kid is making, quote, health decisions at seven. it's not okay.
Not a good relationship.
Not a good relationship.
The relationships.
You have a kid who's obsessed with health. It doesn't necessarily mean they are at risk.
They're making the right choices.
It's something to watch. And at that point, you might want to say, all foods are healthy, and that is that's your hard line. All foods are healthy. It's important for us to eat all foods to be healthy mentally and physically.
Yeah. So,
you know, it's always this balancing act. There's not one right thing for everyone, but we can be aware, like, is my kid getting obsessed in one way or the other? Are they being obsessed with foods that aren't meeting their nutritional needs? You know, we're always trying to find that balance for our specific child.
Yeah.
And it's hard.
Yeah, fully.
And ourselves, I actually, too.
What's that? Sorry?
And ourselves, too. I mean, it's hard for us to do that for ourselves.
That's exactly what I wanted to say, that, you know, this young girl who's made that relationship with food, so many adults that I hear will also say, sugar's bad, or like, this is bad, that is bad, coffee's bad, like everything is bad or good or healthy or not healthy or super or, you know, detoxifying or junk or fake, you know, there's this hard lines. And at some point, and I actually had to go through to myself after graduating, I was like, yes, like on the health train, you know, right, I'm doing it all. And then I, you know, at some point my partner's like, need to back up a bit.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah,
all foods are okay. Like, it's food. And, right, you know, it's all okay. And I had to really learn that. I actually had to like unlearn a lot to then relearn how to do that.
Right. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about this two sides of the same coin, which is something that I feel like needs to be said in this very polarized space.
Yeah. Well, let's start making noise, shall we?
Yeah. All right. Well, take care. Yeah.
Thanks so much for being here. You could have been listening to anything, but you're here interested in reclaiming your health. I hope you found the episode useful and constructive. If you enjoyed it and would like to show support for the show, please leave a review, as this makes my content more discoverable for other people to enjoy and learn from. Please also consider subscribing to the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you enjoy listening. Finally, the best way to show support for the show is by sharing it with someone who you think might benefit from it. Thanks for listening. Be well, and I'll catch you next time.